Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. Today, we are so excited to have Lori with us. She is going to share her son's journey along with her journey as being the mother of a person suffering with Lyme. So we're so excited to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm so excited to hear this, your story. So it's your son's journey, and then obviously as a mother to watch your son go through, you know, what he's going through. I mean, that must have been heartbreaking.
And frustrating to try to navigate the direction to go. At the beginning, I just started to notice him change around like August, September of 2021. He had started school and he just was lethargic and sick all the time. So he missed a lot of school at that time. And he had headaches. He slept a lot. And just really stopped talking altogether, which was super concerning because he's very talkative.
How old is he? How old was he?
He was 11 at that time. He's now 12.
Yeah.
So for an 11-year-old to not talk your ear off, right?
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
Yes, especially him. He's very talkative and very outgoing. So that was like my first thing that I saw was just a huge change in him at the beginning of the school year. And so I took him to the doctor basically in September. Like he just wasn't acting right. And then he was missing a lot of school and the school was threatening to unregister him. And then he also needed to get his vaccine for meningitis at 11. And his birthday is August 31st. So I was behind on the vaccine because he wasn't feeling well. And they basically told me, you have to get it by this deadline or he's unregistered.
Wow.
If I knew a little bit better, I would have probably not done that and been pressured into doing that. But I've always followed doctor's orders with my kids. I didn't question it. So October 1st, I went and got him that vaccine and he significantly changed after that.
Really?
And,
Really? What happened? So you were seeing that he wasn't talking prior to, and then he got the vaccine, and then it got even worse?
Yes. So then his immune system dropped, basically. He kept getting like cold-like symptoms. He stopped talking, and the only thing he said to me was, I'm tired. Like, that's it. He was looking down, and he'd come upstairs. I'm like, how you doing, buddy? I'm tired. Nothing else. No other words were spoken to me all of October. So as I'm watching him do this, I related to my horse on this podcast as guiding me. And on September 19th, my horse acquired West Nile virus. And he made it, but it just was the symptoms my horse was displaying, my son was now displaying, if that makes sense.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Neurological stuff, head down, moping. Obviously, my horse doesn't talk, but no energy, depressed-like symptoms. So
you're talking about your husband or? No, just kidding.
Not your horse.
not talking. Not and not, not.
No, my horse. So just those symptoms were going on with him. So then I was looking at my son going, this is really strange. So I took him to the doctor after the vaccine and had them do blood work. And that was really hard. They were reluctant to do blood work further than just the normal thing. So they tested for COVID antibodies because our family had gotten it. Travis never did when we did in July. They tested for what's called valley fever here, which the symptoms he was having was kind of displaying that. And so that came back negative. So then I took him back to the doctor and they're like, he's fine. I said, can you just test him for West Nile virus for me? My horse got it. That was weird. I have a friend up here that got it. Really strange. So they did that test and he did come back positive for antibodies for West Nile virus. So at that time, they told me to do recovery care, give him Tylenol and let him sleep. And I asked how long that could happen. And they said, well, it can take a long time. It can take up to 5 years. And I'm like, he's 11. That's
not okay.
Not an acceptable answer.
So I was pretty frustrated and I just felt like defeated. The way I felt at the doctor was as if I was making this up, which was frustrating to me because it like made me feel crazy. Like, I know my child, I'm like, look at him. I remember saying that to the doctor. I was like, look at his eyes. They're glossed over. He has bags under them. He just doesn't look the same. He's not talking. He's just lethargic. There's something wrong. So I kind of quit that route of medicine, Western medicine. And miraculously a friend came into my life in October and I mentioned to her that he had West Nile antibodies. And she had mentioned to me that her son had had West Nile and there was a doctor that had helped him in Illinois. And so she gave me his number and I just kind of sat on that because I didn't know what to do.
Right.
I'm used to just taking my kids to the doctor and doing what they tell you. So finally in December, I reached out to that doctor in Illinois. His name is Christopher Holtz. He's a homeopathic doctor. And we did a consult and he does a lot of muscle testing. His methods are a little bit different than anything I've ever seen in my life. But it's very similar to what I did with my horse, all natural and those types of things. So we did our consult and he said he knew things about Travis based on looking at a picture of him when he was sick, which I only had one picture because I didn't take pictures of him when he was sick. He was in bed all day. So I had one. It was October 30th when I tried to get him to carve a pumpkin and it didn't really work out well. He had no energy for that. So he knew that my child had a lot of antibiotics when he was little. He knew that he'd been taking a lot of Tylenol recently and when he was little. And that was 100% true. I didn't tell him any of that. But when Travis was about 3 or 4, he had what we thought were ear infections. But he had a cholesteatoma tumor in his right ear, which had to be removed and all that. So they gave him a ton of antibiotics. So anyway, I talked to this doctor and he said, you know, your son is pretty sick. He's got Lyme disease. He does have West Nile antibodies, and he also has Rocky Mountain spotted fever. So.
And was that the first time that Lyme even entered the conversations?
Yes, not Western at all.
Okay.
Specifically with the homeopathic doctor. And I didn't know what Lyme disease was. I had no idea what he meant by that. So I was like, well, what do I do? Is there anybody you can refer me to out here? And he's like, my dad and I have this, he's like, it's really hard to explain, but it hasn't really been replicated. They do a lot of muscle testing, laser therapy. The treatments he had, it's, again, hard to explain. You just kind of have to be in the moment and trust that this is going to work. And so I decided in December when Travis didn't even know what he wanted for Christmas, which, again, for an 11-year-old boy, right, pretty odd to not know what we want for Christmas. I told him, I wrote a letter from Santa saying, we're going to take you to a homeopathic doctor because we know you're not feeling well. And he started crying. He was like, yeah,
make me cry.
Wow. And I know. Wow. I was crying. Yeah. My oldest son was like, I want my brother back. It was all this stuff. So with that being said, he had no immune system. So flying really wasn't an option. So we took a journey in an RV across the United States.
And
in
so
March.
Where are you?
I'm in Arizona.
It is really across the United States almost. Yeah,
definitely a journey.
We took a journey as a family and we couldn't go until like March due to weather. So like I had to just be patient with Travis. He ended up getting unregistered from school. So started homeschooling him the best that I could. I have an IEP for him finally now due to this illness. They honored that as an illness and gave accommodations for it as well. But that took a whole year to get that in place. I got that in place in November. So we traveled across the United States at the beginning of March, and we had three sessions, which was three days, it was six sessions total with him, where he did a full exam on him. Everything he said on the phone came back exactly kind of what he said, and then some more. And so did a lot of laser treatment, foot soak, some, I can't even really explain it, but it has to do with muscle testing, and then also homeopathic meds that he was giving him right then to help subside the symptoms of it.
So the lasering, what was that? What did that look like? I'm curious.
So he'd have to take, so he'd hold an antibody in like a jar in his hand, Travis would, and then he would have a Q-tip in his hand where he'd put it in his mouth and then put it at the tip of this point right here. And so the doctor would laser him through and do some muscle testing. And when his arm would stay strong, the laser treatment was done. If it dropped, that meant he was still
reacting to it.
Reacting to it. So yeah, that consult was about an hour and a half, 2 hours to kind of find out all the things that were going on.
And then, so I'm not familiar with laser therapy. So when they would do that, would they just keep lasering him until his arm didn't fall?
Correct.
In that one session, like that's what they would do.
There were six of them, yes. And okay. Some had to be done within 24 hours and the other had to be done within 48 hours.
Okay.
And there was a part where the doctor was like, his right brain is not connecting with his left brain. And that's, I was like, yes, that's how I feel. And within 48 hours after doing the second treatment, he was saying full sentences again.
That's cool.
Wow. Yeah. So I know that you said it was very different, and it is. Can you know, in for me too, I grew up, if I got sick, I went to the doctor, we did what the doctor said. I mean, I think most Americans are raised that way. Mm-hmm. And for me, if I would have continued that, I wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for, you know, something other than Western medicine, and thankfully for Dr. Karlfeld. So as a mom, how reluctant were you to going through these times of strange things? When I first met Dr. Karlfeld and got introduced to muscle testing, I literally, and I say this a lot on the show, because I'm like, I go home and I call my mom. I'm like, Mom, I just met this doctor. He did this crazy stuff. It was like voodoo. I spent this money and bought these supplements. I think I just got took. And that's literally how I felt, because it was outside of anything that I knew anything about. Mm-hmm. But for me, I was just so desperate that, you know, you just kind of do anything. Is that kind of where you were at?
That's exactly where I got. It's funny you said the voodoo thing, because that's pretty much how I'm like, I can't really explain it. It's like voodoo, but it works, okay?
Right.
So I just went through these periods. I was just so frustrated and watching him not get better, get worse. His memory was just fading away, especially with food. He didn't remember what he liked to eat. It was really strange.
This was while getting treatments that you're seeing?
Okay. Just recently, we went back in August too. So that's the second portion of the treatment. We did go back. We were able to fly. So when I was contemplating this between October to having a consult in December to making the decision to go, I got to a point where I'm like, look, I am desperate. If I go and this doesn't work, what do I have to lose right now? Absolutely nothing. I'll be in the same boat that I am right now, but at least I know I tried.
Right.
And that's how I kind of had to present it, from the pushback I got from friends and family. Like, why are you going to Illinois? Why would you travel there? Why can't you just go locally? I was like, I can't find anything locally to help him. So I'm just going to try it. And seeing my friend's son, who not only did he have West Nile, but he had suffered a concussion. And the doctor said he'd never have full vision. And like us moms, we're like, yeah, right. That's not, nope, we're going to.
Not acceptable. Yeah.
Yeah. So she took him to Dr. Holtz, and I met her son, who's now 21, and he has completely fine vision. And it's like, well, look at this kid. He had West Nile. He had this. It worked for him. Why don't I try this for my child?
And so you went there, he did all these treatments, and you mentioned that, yeah, he was able to speak full sentences after just one treatment. So you would have then seen an improvement then immediately, but then later on you had challenges in seeing the improvements and still stuck, or how?
Yeah, it was, you know, when you want things to be fixed right away, you're hoping for, you know,
everything,
remission and all that. And the doctor was great. He's like, honestly, Lori, you caught this really quickly. Most people come in here carried in or in a wheelchair, unable to walk. He's like, you've done a really good job. To me, I felt like it took forever because I'm watching it. It's my child, like, kind of decrease, you know, just he's decreasing in front of me as far as his ability to do anything. And I do look back now and I go, you know what? It was pretty quickly. So we started homeopathic medicine that first day of treatment. And the way he does it is he was autoimmune to probiotics. So he was on some intense probiotics at the time. So it was 2 pills in the morning, 2 pills in the evening that were pretty big. And then he had to take some enzymes along with that, 2 in the morning, 2 in the evening, again, another big pills. The other homeopathic ones were dissolvable, and they were every hour for 12 hours out of the day.
Wow.
So it was intense homeopathic to get through all of his different body parts. So just so I can look and see, when we went there, he was able to find that he had West Nile in his adrenals and his spinal cord. He had Rocky Mountain spotted fever in his intestinal area. Lyme was in the brain, spinal cord, and intestines. And then he had like a bacterium 3 in intestines, and then miasm spins, which was in his head, that were going on, which really made sense to the symptoms that Travis was saying. He would feel dizzy. He had headaches and all the lethargicness, right? A lot of people ask me, did you change his diet? Well, when we were there that first visit, he was able to treat him for the autoimmune for probiotics, a wheat and gluten allergy, and a sugar allergy at that first visit, which helped me significantly not have to change a diet while going through treatment with Travis.
Yeah. Especially with the kid, right?
He's a kid. The doctor's like, he's a kid. It's going to be extremely hard. So we went back to do more white blood cell counts and protein, things that were going on in August. So we treated those first things to kind of be able to start the homeopathics. And they're all like natural. It's called Bioren, these little tablets. Mm-hmm. They come, I don't know if you've seen them before,
yeah.
But there's 200s and then there's 1 ms. You do 200s for the first week, 1 ms for the second week. And it would be a variety of different ones that would go along with what we were treating in the body.
And he would just kind of muscle test to see which one that would support whatever was showing weak.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's how he knew.
And that's in addition to, did he create homeopathic solutions himself out of, you know, from what he was testing or when he was lasering, or it was just kind of using homeopathic that already existed?
So he has so basically he took the symptoms that he tested for, and he has like this book that will say what remedies work for those symptoms, and kind of tackled, first he tackled the West Nile. He also got rid of my son's asthma, which was like an added blessing because he's had asthma his whole life. So,
oh, wow. That's awesome. See, there's always something good out of something bad.
Exactly. I'm like, he finally has no asthma. I never thought that day would come. He has like 6 or 7 rescue inhalers just sitting all around because we don't use them anymore. But that's been something he's dealt with his whole life as well. So yeah, just the regimens, we would do every 2 week consults on the phone. He'd be like, okay, we're going to move to this area of the body. We're going to use these homeopathics. He'd mail them out to me. When I got to the 1 ms, I'd call him, repeat. We did this all until the end of December.
Great.
So when I was there, he did tell me, like I said earlier, that I did catch it early. Like you know, this was pretty early. Usually it takes like 24 months of remedies and treatments, but he told me about 9 months, and it was 9 months.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Right.
It was right on.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting though, because as I was going along with it, we're doing this, we travel back in August, we do 5 treatments then or so. It was just 2 days of being in Illinois, but I was able to fly. And he treated him a lot for like the aluminum. There was like certain homeopathics that he had to do every 10 minutes for like 3 hours, and then every half hour thereafter to kind of just really combat certain things. Again, a lot of this is so overwhelming to me when I'm there. I'm just trusting the process because I've seen improvement. When we hit October, the beginning of October, I felt like both Travis and I hit like a wall. We were both tired of it. He never complained. He never didn't take the meds, but like, it was like the 1 year mark and we're done. And he's telling me things like, I'm just really not happy anymore. I thought it'd get better. So then I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm super emotional about it. And that's where the Lyme disease support group that I created for parents came in, because I felt very alone. So I reached out to other people to see like, how is my child feeling, and like try to support other people and they can support me type thing. And that's where this kind of all started in October, and it's now January and I'm feeling completely different than I did in October.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I went through it as an adult, mm-hmm. and it's a horrible disease. I mean, I can't imagine having my childhood ripped from me, you know, even if it was only a year or 2 years, but just to be that age and to not be able to live like a kid and have to mm-hmm. do all these things that you really don't want to do and you don't know what it is. I just mm-hmm. can't imagine. So I'm good for him for going a year and not complaining. That's pretty yeah. impressive alone.
He was basically home besides having to travel there for a year and a half, which that's just crazy to me. I know it's not that long, but for a kid, I feel like you said, it is long. And going back to kind of the beginning, again, not knowing how this kind of all happened, was in July of 2021, he spent a week in California and he went tent camping and I wasn't with him. And when he came home, he kept complaining about this spot on his hairline. And there was no tick there at the time, but like there was this mark and then there were some rashes. I didn't know I'd taken the doctor, the rash would be gone. So it just was like, I never thought in my mind a tick bite, Lyme disease, but then it all makes sense now.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, my story sounds so much like that, because I got the bullseye rash from mm-hmm. the tick bite. I didn't see the tick on me, but I saw the rash and I didn't know what it meant. I had mm-hmm. no idea. And that's why these, you know, support groups are great. And that's one of the reasons why we do this podcast, is if I would have known, I could have saved like 13 years of my life, mm-hmm. you know, but I didn't know. So if I can just teach one person what a bullseye rash means, like it makes yeah. it all worth it, you know, to share your information that you know.
Absolutely.
And it's so great to not feel then isolated, meaning that this is only happening to me. And mm-hmm. and you have this group where people can then see that, yes, I'm not alone in this journey. Yeah. And then have that support where you can then see somebody that maybe is a little further along in that journey can say, yes, mm-hmm. you know, we experienced this as well, and now we are here, so that you can gain that hope and knowing that this is a process, and as long as I move through it, I'll get to the end.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Like, there's hope out there. That's all I want. If I can give one person just some hope that themselves or their child can get through this, and there are different ways of doing it. And I know that I've been reading so much. There's so many different routes you can go to get into remission. And it doesn't really matter the route that your body can go. It's just like, there are options. Don't give up.
Which is a good thing, because there's not just one remedy mm-hmm. for it. You know, what worked for your son may not work for the next kid that walked into his office. It's just where yeah. our bodies are so individualized when it comes to treating. And I love hearing, you know, your story with Travis and all the other stories that don't actually use antibiotics, because mm-hmm. antibiotics, I mean, there's a time and place for it, I guess, not in my world, but in some people's yeah. world, it's okay. But it just does a lot of damage, and then you have to go back and fix your gut damage that you've done with the antibiotics. And I just love to hear people going different routes, thinking outside the box, like you said, thinking, allowing yeah. voodoo to kind of come into our world yes. and teach us a few things.
Absolutely. And honestly, I don't see how antibiotics would work for Travis anyways, being that he had so many when he was little. He had so many right. when he was little, and that caused a lot of his problems with the Lyme. It was in his intestines a lot. So having to treat the body to work correctly instead of masking symptoms was huge for me to learn. And I went through this period when I was in Illinois. My husband was like, "What is wrong with you?" And I was like, "I'm just mad. I'm mad that I didn't know better. Like, even when my children were babies, I wish I would have like thought outside the box and thought a little bit differently and didn't just follow what they said all the time. It just frustrated me. But I'm like, I'm glad I'm here. I've learned a lot and I know kind of where to go from, you know, and I know in the future, if symptoms come up, I know what I can do to help Travis and he'll know what he can do to help himself as an adult.
Right.
And he'll be, both of you very empowered in this journey, because here you're facing something big and you're learning about the tools that are available that you can access at any time and, mm-hmm. and what they do. And in regards to the point you're making in regards to being mad, I mean, I don't know how many mothers I have, you're talking about the meningitis vaccine, but, they have a perfectly healthy little child that speaks, develops, and amazing. And then all of a sudden after like an MMR or Hep B vaccine and, mm-hmm. and now they don't speak anymore and now they can't walk and they, poop in their pants and they, all these different things, become, immediately autistic after. So it's, obviously as a mother, when you are the one, saying that this is, I said yes to this, but you can only go on the information you have at the time. And yep. So you can't, and it doesn't help to kick a wound, it's not going to heal faster. So, so all you can do is exactly what you're doing is to recognize that, yes, this happened. And what can we do to fix it? And we'll have to learn.
Right. And now we know better because I learned so much mm-hmm. about, I get a sore throat. I don't go to, whatever you can buy over the counter. I just gargle with colloidal silver, like, and it's gone. Oh, so, I mean, I do so many things differently in my life now that I never would have known anything about. So I guess that's my blessing on the bad part of Lyme, that I learned some knowledge.
You do learn a lot. And it's funny you said colloidal silver. I use that all the time now, but I was using it for my horse before. It's like everything I was using for my horse. I was like, if I'm doing this all natural for him and we're having like energy worker coming out, a chiropractor come out, and I'm doing all these natural supplements, why am I not doing this for my child? So that's when I just shifted to let's try this. Let's try something different and get away from the Western medicine. And he's overdue for his physical exam. I don't have it in me right now to have a conversation with that doctor just yet. because I'm a little, they just made me feel crazy. Actually, I felt like they were.
They do. They make you feel like you're crazy.
Like I made
and,
it up.
Yeah. And we get zero validation from them.
Yeah.
And, and those are the people that we're supposed to trust. And so mm-hmm. I can understand your reluctancy to even want to go back there, because they didn't believe you. And if why would you want to go and listen to anything anybody has to say when they didn't believe what you were saying?
Yes. So. And that's one thing that Travis did say to me, like, when I told him I was going to take him to a doctor that, can try to help him. He's like, "I told you, Mom." I was like, "I know. I'm trying to understand what it is." Cause he couldn't verbalize though. Just, "I'm tired" is all I got. So it was really hard to work with an "I'm tired" sentence of what's really going on with him in his head and like what he's thinking and like how that feels.
So how, I'm curious, how's he doing now, by the way? Where is he at?
He's doing really well. Last holiday season in 2021 was pretty depressing. He doesn't remember Halloween at all. That's when I first found out that he had the West Nile antibodies. So like I had him go trick-or-treating, but he made it like to maybe a couple houses. And then this year he didn't remember even going. This year he was able to go. He was at first he was a little bit nervous because he hadn't been anywhere in a year.
Yeah.
And so he went and he was like And we took two cars. So it was like, if Travis wants to leave, then I'm going to respect that, because this is like his first outing. He ended up staying for 3 hours at our friend's house, and he had a good time. He got tired from walking a lot because he hadn't walked in a while. This Thanksgiving was like a brand new thing for him, because, like I said, he forgot a lot of things. So food was one of them. So it was brand new to him, all the different foods that we were having, but he was able to participate in that. He loves Christmas lights and putting up lights. So it was the earliest I ever got the Christmas lights up this year was on Thanksgiving. He did that with me, went and got a tree. I mean, we just did all the normal things for the holidays that we didn't get to the year before. So I was just in the moment this year. I didn't want anything besides like just being present, because it was everything I wanted in so long. So just to see him have the energy to be up for long periods of time, watch movies, play games, be active, like, it was beautiful.
I could only
it was like
imagine.
The best Christmas present ever.
So much to celebrate that year, for sure.
Yes. Yes, and it was exactly 9 months from when we first started treatment, which was fascinating to me, going, I'm really getting, it's really happening. It, like what that doctor said is true. And I could see the pieces of it, but then October was kind of hard because it was just depressing after a while. We've been doing this for a long time, but yeah, at the end of October, everything kind of changed.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
Wow. Well, you are, I mean, I'm sure you're his hero anyways, but you should be your own hero, because you didn't stop. You know, you could have just farted around with these Western medicine doctors and gotten nowhere and not gotten that Lyme diagnosis, because as you've now learned, you know, he was diagnosed very, very soon. That doesn't happen for, I don't know. Do you have a percentage of people that actually get diagnosed within a year?
I would say maybe, you know, of the 100 plus interviews we've done, maybe like 5 or not even that, 2, 3.
Yeah. Definitely no more than 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of them have literally been decades.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So I mean, as long as it seemed to me, I think that's why it helped with the support group, was to see like that, like, and honor that. Like I really did not, I was relentless. I was not going to give up on finding out what was wrong with him and then taking a risk traveling across the United States to treat him in hopes, not knowing if it's 100% going to work, and it turning around and working out to his benefit, our benefit.
Yeah. So it just really shows your resilience that you did what you had to do, because, you know, a lot of people, at least that early on, I think, in the illness, I don't think would have gone to those measures of traveling across country, even if it was for them or their child or whoever it was from. I just don't think that happens often, and especially going to, you know, the type of doctor that you're not familiar with. So it's good that you're sharing that you took that gamble and it worked out in your favor and in Travis's favor. So we love to hear stories like that.
Absolutely. At the time too, in December of 2021, I was telling my husband, I was like, look, I don't know if, just can you take this chance with me? Because he didn't understand it. He didn't understand what I was doing, why we had to go to Illinois, but he agreed to just, you know, to do it. So when he saw within like a couple days, like, wow, he's talking more. He's like, that's amazing. So he believes it now too. It was just kind of being like, just trust me. We've got to try this. If it doesn't work, I'm sorry. But like, it wasn't like in a huge amount of money either. You know what I mean? I know it's expensive to treat Lyme, but it wasn't like you had like $1,000 consult. You know what I mean? It was like $110 for his consult. It wasn't pricey. Getting there and back, that was pricey, but we made the best of it. And all in all, with the treatment, I mean, the two in-persons that we did with all those visits, the first one with all the remedies was just a little bit under $1,000 for 6 sessions and all the remedies coming home with us, which were a lot. Wow. And then the second one was like maybe $700.
Wow.
And then every 2 weeks, we would spend about anywhere ranging from $90 to $120 every 2 weeks. To me, I mean, that was worth all of it. And it's not cheap, but it's not expensive, if that makes sense.
Well, no, I can tell you it's very cheap. I've never heard as such prices.
I was shocked myself.
Unfortunately, a lot of, you know, because insurance doesn't pay for naturopath doctors, which is frustrating, but I'm just grateful that they still practice. You know, they still go against all the things that they have to fight up against to, you know, keep their doors open. So I'm happy to pay them. But no, those are, that's a great treatment protocol for those prices. So
yeah.
I love to hear that there's, you know, more than just one Dr. K out there treating good people and not ripping them off to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I felt very good about the whole thing. I mean, I think I spent more in travel than at those visits when I went in person. And I would have spent anything, honestly, but it just, it was nice to know, like, if I'm gambling this to work or not, it's not also like thousands of dollars with my first consult.
Yeah, right.
Like you said, the worst that could have happened is that nothing happened. And at least then you tried and kind of.
And you weren't out, you know, $50,000 or something. Yeah. So, yeah, you really had nothing to lose. But definitely a journey going cross country with a husband who's on board, but a little skeptical. You who really don't know what you're thinking. And then Travis is just like, I don't even care. I'm just sick.
He slept
or I'm tired.
My 15-year-old, he's like, that was so much fun. So he had a great time. And I'm like, I was so stressed out because there was, you know, weather that came into play. A few times there were like, we get to Illinois and I'm like, oh, it's snowing. Cool.
Right. Culture shock from Arizona for sure.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and one of the things that you're so lucky at and that you did not accept, you know, following the medical doctors, because kind of the next step, then they go and say, well, he's just depressed. He's just anxious. You know, so now we need to put him on antidepressants. And then all of a sudden he may have some impact, some emotional impact of that. And then we need to put these other kind of antipsychotic or other type of drugs to help to cover that. So it's, you're really lucky that you didn't go in that direction but that you looked and more, you know, I'm not going to accept these answers. I need to find the root cause for my child. You know, he just didn't become like this because of nothing. You know, there is a reason behind it and that's what we're going to unravel. So that's huge, because once you go in that other direction, it's hard to then find solution, figure it out, because then the poor child is so drugged up.
It's a deep hole to go down, for sure.
Absolutely. And I work in the mental health field. I do equine assisted therapy, so like I'm more of a be with horses and happy and process feelings type thing. And when we first moved to Arizona in 2019, he was a little bit anxious, so he went out and walked some ponies for like 30 minutes and his anxiety went away. So I'm a firm believer in just, you know, working with the actual symptom instead of masking it with a drug.
I love
it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty much the route we went this way too. So.
Cool. Cool.
That's awesome. And at the end of the day, he got rid of his asthma.
I know. So I'm like, if anybody argues anything, he doesn't have asthma. And that's been a lifelong thing. And that's huge because
he's so young. You know, to have to struggle with, you know, an ailment like that your whole life. It just interferes, I'm sure, with so much of his life. So that's huge.
Go ahead.
I think the resilience for me on that end was just when he was little going through that tumor with him. I fought hard back then. And so I told him, I was like, look, I didn't fail you back then. I'm going to help you. We're going to figure this out. I just don't know yet, but I'm going to figure it out for you.
Wow. You've certainly had a lot of hurdles in his short life.
I know, poor guy.
So how many, you mentioned his older brother. Is it just the two boys that you have?
Just the two boys, yeah.
All right. Well, your older brother or your older son now knows if something happens to him. Don't worry. Mom will get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, he could see the change in Travis too. And like, that's why that Christmas was so emotional, because it's like I have my kiddo crying because he wants to feel better. I'm telling him like, we're going to make this journey. And then I have my 15-year-old saying, I want my brother back, which before they used to argue all the time. So it just kind of changed their relationship too, to where there's a little bit more patience with the older brother to the little brother, just knowing he's gone through a lot.
I love it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
And what kind of, Travis, what does he remember how he felt or what he was experiencing when he wasn't doing well? I mean,
Yes. We're at the reflection process right now. So asking him, you know, how is this Christmas different than the last? He's like, well, I can actually think and remember things. That's huge for a 12-year-old to say. And I was proud of him too when he told me back in October, like, he was feeling sad and he thought it would get better, but it's just not. He feels really stressed out. And instead of, like, I just said, you know what? That's a valid feeling. And honored that feeling, right? So when I honor that and, like, I check in with him, then he was able to talk to me more. So now we're reflecting on, remember a year ago? And he's like, I don't really remember a year ago. That's why I knew he didn't remember Halloween, because I asked him, like, so he didn't even remember, like, he was a Minecraft character this year and then last year. And I showed him, he's like, what's that? He didn't even remember that the skin for the Minecraft was the one that he designed. Doesn't even remember
it.
So just reflecting on, like, thinking clearly, remembering more. I write these things down. I put them on my page because when they happen, I'm, like, fascinated by it. And then just being at our friend's house the other night, he's saying, can we stay 5 minutes longer? I haven't heard that in a long time, nor have we gone anywhere and socialized. So just to see him playing with his friends, wanting to stay longer, having energy, it's just like we're just reflecting right now.
Wow. So cool as a mother to see. I mean, that's awesome.
Yes.
And I know
I've been happy for a while now, just smiling, like, all of, like, November and December. I'm like, this is the best holiday season ever.
Right. And it does. It kind of makes us stop and realize that we do, as humans, we just naturally take a lot of things for granted. Whether we think we do or not, just the simplest things. So it really is, it's a life-changing illness, you know, and I'm glad that his journey was, I know it seemed like a long time to both of you guys, but I'm glad it was a very quick journey for him. But I really think that he's going to take bits and pieces from this, and it's going to help him in for the rest of his life, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm happy that I'm glad that I can share that, like, if you suspect something's wrong with your child and they're telling, the Western medicine's telling you one thing, like, just look at your options.
Yeah.
Look for different testing.
Yep. Don't just settle. Don't just trust what one person tells you. If you don't feel right about it, or if something isn't changing, then search out for other answers. Because there's a lot of them out there. There's so many different ways to treat Lyme. It's really kind of mind-blowing, actually.
It is. I've learned a lot in the last few months. And another thing is just follow your intuition. If you feel like this is something you need to do, or if you feel like something's wrong in what's being told to you, follow your intuition. If that feels wrong to you, find something that feels right to you. And I couldn't put it, like, I couldn't really pinpoint it, but I just knew I needed to go to this doctor. I felt it in my heart. And that's kind of what I told my husband. I was like, I feel this in my soul. I just need to try it. And if it doesn't work, I'm sorry, but I have to do this as his mom. So,
yeah. Well, you made the right choice, it sounds like.
Yes, for sure.
Well, I am so, thank you so much for sharing this time with us and telling your story and your son's story. That's so inspirational, so powerful, and so encouraging, and, you know, bringing hope to people that are in the same situation. That, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me and allowing me to share his story.
Absolutely. These stories that you guys share are just, they're helping more people than you can even imagine. So we really appreciate you being open and vulnerable about, you know, sharing your son's journey, because it's tough as a parent, I'm sure, to reflect back on to how he was versus now. So we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.